Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast and YouTube channel. Listen, make sure you subscribe today. You can go to iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can go to our YouTube channel, True Underdog, or you can visit trueunderdog.com and subscribe to all of it.
Damn, 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 True Underdog. Damn, damn, unleash damn. The power within. Damn, damn.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Business Q&A with Inc. 500 CEO Jason Waller. This room is hosted by Human Behavior and will be recorded for Jason's podcast, True Underdog. Jason is here alongside successful multi-figure industry leaders who are here to answer all your entrepreneurship curiosities to help you look forward, evolve yourself, evolve your business, all while sharing their own path to success with some great entrepreneurial insights. So, Jason, let's kick it off.
Thank you for the introduction. And thank you, Stephen and Mark and Jarrett, Hala and Kate being up here. I've had Hala, Mark, and Stephen on my podcast. Tremendous honor to hear their story and have them on here as well. Super excited. Today, we are going to really talk about how we take it to the next level, how we overcome adversity, how we give that 1% every single day. It's in my book I'm writing, For No Excuses Life. And basically, it's make your own map. There's no elevator in life. You got to take the stairs. Don't be held hostage. Scared money don't make money. Turn failure into fuel. Love your haters. Team out. To be world champ, focus on the play-by-play. And you're effed if you only chase money. Focus on fulfillment instead. So those are kind of the subjects we're going to cover today. I'm super excited. I've got a great panel here. Great group. Stephen, you want to give a quick intro on yourself as well as you, Mark? And then let's kick it off. I've got some questions for you guys.
Yeah, man, super excited to be here. Best known for going homeless to $100 million across six companies. That's kind of, what I'm best known for. But here to happy to serve, man. Appreciate you letting me spend some time with you guys.
Fantastic. I'm Mark Drager. I'm the host of the We Do Hard Things podcast. I also started a marketing agency in 2006 that I've been running for 15 years. We grew it into a multi-million dollar business. And now I'm all in on hosting. I'm all in on Clubhouse. I'm all in on podcasting. And Jason, as you mentioned, you had me on your podcast and it was an awesome experience. Thank you.
Thank you. Jarrett, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself as well, my man?
Yeah, thanks for having me. My name is Jarrett Albritton. I've been in the tech space for 15 years and was an influencer before Clubhouse necessarily, was just really focused on business, but hopped on Clubhouse, hopped on the stage, talked about my experience in tech, and went from 80 to 54,000 followers on Clubhouse, just pouring into people, just trying to get people into tech and giving them the empowerment to believe they can be in it. And my real goal is diversity in tech. And from that, I started an organization called DEI Staffing. And I'm just really excited to be a part of this conversation. And yeah, thanks for having me.
Perfect. All right. Well, Stephen, I'm going to start with you. And the first thing I want to bring up, for everybody listening, we're going to bring some of you up. You're going to get some Q&A with the awesome panel, as well as asking me some questions as well. But I want to ask you, Stephen, you know, living life without a purpose may cause anxiety, depression. Many are blessed with money, material things, but they're still depressed. If you're not passionate about something, you don't have a mission. Tell me about you finding a mission, Stephen. What is that like?
Yeah, so no, I'm glad you actually brought that up. For me, it was quite a bit of a struggle. When I first started my first set of companies or whatever, my first business, obviously it was the, you know, sleeping in a car and started building. And I used to tie my identity to all the things that I thought I wanted, the cars, the house, all that kind of stuff. The more and more successful I became, the more and more empty I actually got. And it wasn't until I had a chance encounter with a close friend where I was able to share a little bit of wisdom that actually helped him save his own life, meaning he decided not to commit suicide, that I really started to felt like I actually had a greater purpose. And I discovered a long time ago that one of the greatest purposes you can ever have is to serve the person you used to be. And I think we're all on that journey. So for me, I've discovered that impact far outweighs income any day of the week. But if you do impact well, you also get the income that comes with it. And I know that's real for a lot of the panelists up here as well. So for me, it's all about making sure that I'm making an impact, making sure I'm creating a legacy that outlives me, making sure I'm grinding towards a meaningful end. And it's not just the toys, if you will.
Solid answer, man. I loved it. I wouldn't expect anything less, dude. That's a bam answer, I like to call it. Mark, what about you? Finding your why, you know, really trying to figure out what is your mission here. Let's talk about what your mission is and how you found that.
Yeah, thank you. It's a great question because honestly, I think like many of us who start businesses young, I was 23 when I started my company, I realized now I didn't know what I wanted. And despite the fact I was able to grow a team and grow the company, and honestly, I was really, really good at a few parts of it, I actually built for myself a bit of a cage, a bit of a trap. And so for me, finding my purpose was actually not just doing the things that I was good at, not just the things that came naturally to me, not just the things that people would pay me for. Because honestly, you can be good at a lot of things. People can pay you for a lot of things. It doesn't mean that it's your purpose. It doesn't mean that it's what you should be doing. And it doesn't mean that you like it. And so now 15 years later, I've actually spent the last few years unwinding the cage, the trap that I built for myself. And honestly, my goal, my mission is to help those people who have a bigger dream, who have a creativity inside of them. They're entrepreneurs, they're creators, they're artists, they're people, they're stay-at-home moms. They want something more, but they feel trapped the way that I felt trapped. And I just want to help share the message that if you step out in faith, if you pursue your passion and your dream, and you work your butt off, that eventually you will free yourself and you will be able to pursue that passion, pursue that dream and make it happen. I'm Mark and I'm done speaking.
Great stuff. All right, Jarrett, yeah, you got some big shoes to fill. We had two great answers. Let's talk about finding your mission, Jarrett. You know, you talked about how you've done some tech startups and staffing, and now you've like really blown up on Clubhouse. Talk about how you found your mission and what it's about.
Yes. Nah, when it comes down to it, Clubhouse was a total organic and authentic thing that just kind of came up because as one of the few Black guys that was in a boardroom or in the meeting offices of these tech companies, it really shocked me to pop on stage in December and see a whole club filled with people that look like me that were either in tech or trying to get into tech. And for me, honestly, I had no ambition of creating a company or getting any followers from it. I just was like, hey, if I can help people that don't necessarily think there's a way to get into tech, understand the opportunities with the roles and the companies and the transferable skills to get in, that would be great. That's basically been my purpose on this app. It's really been diversity in tech, but also just empowering people to have a mindset shift and believing that from a place of abundance, from a place of you are enough, and just believing that you can, you know, reach above and beyond what you think is possible. So for me, that's been my purpose on this app. But before Clubhouse, that was kind of my purpose in terms of everybody that I was around, is just trying to pass on a mentality of an empowered mindset, mm-hmm. an abundant mindset, because at the end of the day, everybody can, as long as they believe that they can. And then when it comes to connecting people to the resources, this app is incredible from that perspective. So that's basically been my why this year, but ultimately that's always been my why.
Great answer, Jarrett. Congrats too, man, blowing up your business and everything's taking off for you. Hey, I do have one of my coaches. I have two great coaches in my life right now. David Meltzer, who's not here. He's the original Jerry Maguire. And Steve Ulsher, who is the president and founder of Podcast Magazine. He also owns Club Pod Creator Clubhouse. What's up, Steve? What about you? What about your finding your mission? And thanks for joining us. You're the one that told me I had a gift of joining us. You're the one that told me I had a gift of enrollment. I still love that about that. And I get excited about that. And you helped me find the name of my book, Own Your Power. So let's talk about what your mission is and how you get there.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, thanks for having me, Jason. And by the way, if we never met before, I'm Steve Ulsher. Really great to meet you. If we've met before, then good to connect here again. You know, it's interesting, right? So for my life, my adult life, anyway, my career years, if you will, I've really kind of struggled with, I think it's just that whole question about, you know, oh, bless you. Hello. I think I've really just kind of struggled with that whole question around like, you know, why am I here? What am I meant and made to do? And all of those sort of come to Jesus moments that so many of us have throughout our lives. And I actually wrote a book about it after having tried various modalities, like the What Color Is Your Parachutes and the Strengths Finders and you name it. I think I've tried it. A lot of those modalities just left me with more questions than answers, Myers-Briggs and so on. And so I really said, you know what, there's got to be an easy way to do this. And I ended up really just seeking a framework that I could use to help me figure out how I'm naturally wired to excel and who I'm most compelled to serve. And ultimately, what is it that I'm going to do to serve them? And so I wrote a book called What Is Your What? Discover the One Amazing Thing You Were Born to Do, which I used as a framework for a number of years. And then I came across this quote from Oscar Wilde about a year ago or so. And I'd like to read it to Jason. It's okay if I read you this quote. It's pretty short.
Absolutely. Yes, please do.
So Oscar Wilde said, if you know what you want to be, then you inevitably become it. That is your punishment. But if you never know, then you can be anything. There is a truth to that. We are not nouns, we are verbs. I am not a thing, an actor, a writer. I am a person who does things. I write, I act, and I never know what I'm going to do next. I think you can become imprisoned if you think of yourself as a noun. And so it's interesting. If you had asked me this question even just a couple of short years ago, I would have answered it very, very differently. Now I answer that question, Jason, with the simple answer of I am whoever I am and will do whatever I do in the moment as it serves me without definition and without an agenda. Because that then gives me the freedom to literally be and do anything. And ultimately, that's where I find the most pleasure and that's where I find the most fulfillment.
Bam! That was good, Steve. See, that's why I like to have a mentor and a coach, man, that can bring it, right? So listen, Joey just joined us. And before I ask Joey a question, because Joey's a rock star as well, finding my why, my reason, my passion, I've always been told I can't. You know, didn't finish high school, didn't go to college. Most of you know my story if you listen to the show. You know, thousands of people get to hear this podcast. It's a Apple Top 5 Entrepreneur podcast. So a lot of people have heard my story. But, you know, I lived in a trailer park. My parents didn't finish school. They had me in their teens. I had my daughter in my teens. I'm still married. I've got 4 beautiful kids. I've got 2 grandkids. I'm only 41. I built 3 businesses. One's almost worth $1 billion. How did I do it? I don't take no for an answer, and I learn from my failures. And my passion is proving people wrong. They're not allowed to create my own map. I get to create my own map. I love to serve others. I love to make an impact in the world. I love to empower others and motivate people and inspire people. But I also loved it when people tell me you can't or you won't or you'll never do that. I love that stuff. I stick that fuel right into my engine, and I just run with it. And so because I hate when people box me in. It's not right. Like what Steve said, if you think you know what you're stuck knowing what you are, then that's what you are. But if you don't, then you can be whatever you want. I like having my decision every day. And so that's how really I find my why and my passion. So Joey, what about you? We're going to go to the next question. I've got another question here before we bring on some guests, Joey. So I'm going to let you introduce yourself, and then I've got a question for you. So go ahead.
Thank you so much, Jason. I appreciate you, Ben. My name is Joey Hickson, and I was an early adopter on Instagram back in 2010. I was able to build a massive empire around 30 million followers. And from there, I was able to monetize it and create a social media marketing platform and a PR media group. And so from there, now I help a lot of businesses, people, influencers really blow up their Instagram and helping get them verified and just take their presence to the next level. And so I appreciate you having me here today. And it's just so funny hearing your story, man, because it sounds like I'm hearing my own story. You and I have so many similarities. It's crazy. So it's just an honor to be here, and I'm here to serve.
Bam. Well, my first question for you is playing to win, right? That's one of the things that I try to live by, playing to win and not avoid losing. A lot of people like to play life safe. Prevent defense, right? Taking it as it comes, playing it safe to minimize risk. Tell me about how you like to play to win and what inspires you to make sure that you win and about taking risks. Go ahead, Joey.
Yeah. So for me, it's similar to what you said. I want to serve others and I want to help others first. And that's my passion. And that's what's helped me be successful is when I'm focusing on someone else and their success, I become more successful. And so for me, if I can give any words of wisdom or advice, it's put others first and the rest will follow. And I don't know if it's from my background of growing and things like that, but I have a servant heart and I just want to, and from that, it echoes me. And I have 2 young kids. I want to build a legacy for them. And I want them to see their dad as someone that's helped impact and change millions of lives. And so it just comes from there. And, you know, they say once you stop thinking about the money and you focus on the passion, that's when the money will come.
Good answer. Good answer. All right. So I'm going to jump to you, Jarrett. We're going to kind of work the other way around now. Play to win, not avoid losing. Taking life as it comes and playing it safe to minimize risk is the problem. How do you play to win and how do you take risks?
Yeah, that's a great question. When it comes to playing to win, I personally like to think of you only have one chance and you really got to go big at the end of the day. So when it comes to, you know, how I approach things, it's really from a place of take risks. It's a numbers game. There's no losing. It's only about, you know, learning from the lessons. So I'm not afraid of failure. Failure is actually the only, you know, way to greatness. So when it comes to asking for things that I want, I'm going to ask for it. I'm going to negotiate, you know, my deals in a way where I'm going to go for everything that I can get out of it. But at the same time, just not being afraid of failure. I guess I'll just keep it short like that.
No, it's a great answer. And you, being not afraid of failure, that's the biggest key. I think people are scared to take those risks as fear of failing. Mark, what about you? Talk about playing to win and taking risks. And, you know, what do you want, believe in, and stand for on it?
Yeah, thank you. So I know by nature, I actually play small. And I hate that about myself. And so I've surrounded myself with people who think much bigger than I think, who have higher standards than I have typically, and who push me much harder than I think I would push myself. And the secret to this isn't just to be able to surround yourself with these people, but to actually listen to what they say, trust them, and then do what they say. And so I think we all have, you know, friends like that, that, you know, they give us advice, but we don't really listen to them. Now, if someone who I know and trust and love, Steven up here on the panel, if he comes to me and he tells me, Mark, you got to do this, I may not like it. I may resist. I may push back. The next day, I'm going to take action. I'm going to do what he says because I trust him. He knows. He sees something I do not see, and I do it. I don't like it. I find it uncomfortable. I don't want to do it, but I do it anyway. And I've learned that, you know what? If Steven was wrong, at least I'm going to learn a lesson. At least I'm going to be further ahead. But if he's right, and I've taken action on it, well, now I've just unlocked something in myself.
Very good answer. And I love the humility of saying, and you being humble, of saying, you know what, I struggle with that. I don't like that. I play it small. I think when people realize, because I have a lot of deficiencies, mine is I have a horrible temper, 1, 2, and then I'm like at the 10 max of, oh my goodness, right? So I don't have any gears, and I sometimes get too passionate and emotional where it seems like I'm yelling. So I know a lot of my flaws and where I'm trying to get better, but I know my strengths is I risk everything all the time. I play big every single time. And I think that you being able to sit here in front of everybody, thousands of listeners, that's what I love so much about you, Mark, is you're so honest and people can relate to that. You said, look, I play small. That's what I do. And I think that's key. And I think that's important that not everybody can get comfortable playing big, but you sometimes got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. So Steven, up to you, playing to win. What does that mean to you about taking risks and trying to win and not play it safe?
You know, it's funny. My father came to me one time and said, Scoggins don't get ahead. They just get by. That one phrase is ringing in my head for probably close to a month. Mark's probably heard me say it 1,000 times recently, but it's so true. You know, my first mentor taught me a long time ago that if I was going to win in life, not only was I going to have to take risk, but I was also going to have to leave behind all the things that I was told I could not do. You know, there's this old quote from the Coach Carter, that old movie says, it's not our light nor our darkness. That old movie says, it's not our light nor our darkness that most frightens us. The limitations that we set for ourselves. And for me, I just want to get to the end of my life and know I left it all on the field, which means I take risk, a lot of them. I do my best nowadays because I've cost myself millions of dollars taking stupid risk because I didn't take the time to strategize what the outcome was, do a traditional SWOT, you know, what are the strengths, what are the outcomes, what am I looking for? You know, so I think there's, in my older age, with all the stupid things I've made with zeros, one of the things that I've been trying to do is I've been trying to take calculated risk. You know, I want to invest in this business over here. Okay, well, what's the opportunity strategy session of how it's going to succeed or fail? What's my overall exposure? What types of things do I need to be looking for the people I might or may not be going into business with? Do I get along with them? Do I like them? Do I like what they're doing? You know, I think all of those are ways to take calculated risk, but also take big enough risk that cause you to stretch yourself on a consistent basis to allow yourself to actually win big. You know, so many people up here on the stage have fought the good fight, what is what I'd like to say. In other words, they're constantly fighting themselves, and they're constantly fighting who they were yesterday, and they're constantly fighting the marketplace, and they're all winning in their own various ways. And I think at the end of the day, that's one of the biggest ways that we can actually make a transition to stop playing small and actually start to live big. So I'm Steve with the Blue Bubble, done speaking. Thanks, Jason.
Bam, great answer. And what your dad says, that's exactly right. I get that. My dad always worked corporate America, you know, worked for the man, struggled, got a bullshit package when he got done with it. You know, he was left hanging. He had an opportunity to open a business with a friend. He said no. And then we ended up having to downsize and live in the trailer park. And look, I wouldn't change a thing, but watching him play it safe motivated me at a young age. I was 14 when that happened. We move across the country, and that motivated me. I said, when that horse comes by, I'm jumping on. I'm taking a chance every time. And so I'd rather fail and learn from my failures or struggles than not do it and have regret. That's always my fear. That regret will haunt me for the rest of my life. So I always say, look, I tried all I could. I've even played the World Series of Poker 4 times. I ain't won anything, but I tried. And every time I last a little bit longer. And so that's exciting for me because, you know, I want to try to win big. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to reset the room. I'm going to introduce Kate again, and she's got our first guest on here. So Kate, go ahead.
Thank you, Jason. All right. Welcome everyone to Business Q&A with Power Home CEO Jason Waller. Jason is here to shape the next generation of entrepreneurs and make the world a better place. Jason lives by the mindset, always getting better, with a goal to get just 1% better each day. To our audience, just know that by you being present in this room tonight, this is how you are achieving that 1% today. So don't hesitate to tap that plus sign in the bottom right corner of your screens and gain some valuable insight from these rockstar panelists we have here with us tonight. If you have learned something new today, tap the greenhouse just above our heads and give our host club, Human Behavior, a follow. Jacob, off to you. Welcome to the stage. Thank you for being here tonight. What is your question for the panel?
Hey, what's up, guys? So I'm a 19-year-old kind of entrepreneur out here in Miami. And my main thing right now is I'm starting to grow on social media and getting some exposure. And with the businesses that I currently run, I'm wondering, I guess, two main things that I feel are a bit similar, but I'll stick to just the first one and the more important one. When should I take on an investment, you know, if I have someone who wants to invest money into my business, even if I don't need it, kind of how would you guys recommend I navigate that with the whole taking on an investment and giving away equity on a business of mine?
Well, I'll jump in. First of all, congrats being 19 and out there trying to be an entrepreneur. I think, you know, anytime that you aspire to serve others and make a difference in the world, you're an entrepreneur and you got to do something about that. So it sounds pretty cool that you got a couple things going online. Looks like you have an online business, you're gaining traction, and you got someone to invest. I'm a big believer. I mean, I've built 3 companies. If you don't need it, don't take it. But if you have bigger aspirations, you know, my first 2 companies, I never did any kind of private equity raise. And true story, I didn't know what EBITDA meant 3 years ago. And I'm sure most entrepreneurs all know what that means. I did not. And so the first 2 companies I built was a cash type business, the alarm companies. And so I ran the books on cash and I got paid a salary and I got distributions at the end of the year. We were profitable and that's it. Well, in the 3rd business I built, and I had to put all my money I ever made from the other 2 businesses and sell my house and like mortgage everything to build Power Home Solar and didn't get paid for 22 months. I learned real fast that in order to grow a big business, you got to get EBITDA. And EBITDA is how you have to get private equity. And in my business, I needed cash flow to grow. And then after I brought the private equity on, now we don't need cash flow, but we're getting ready to do another equity raise because I want to get debt. I want to take the company public. So you got to figure out what is your dream goal here. Always stick to the 30, 60, 90, 180 days of what your goals are. Small time, like you want to look small goals to get some wins, but your big time dream goal, what is it? Is it just to grow this business to pay yourself? Then there's no reason to bring an investor. Is it to have employees and serve others and build something lucrative? Well, then you may need an investor. Is it to go public one day and take over other companies? Then you do need an investor. You got to ask those questions first of what your ultimate long-term dream goal is before you bring somebody on and then you're stuck with that person because given equity, you're married to them. I'll let Steven jump in and then we'll work our way down.
Yeah, man. Great answer, by the way. I mean, dude, you're not going to get much better feedback than what Jason just gave you. The only thing that I would piggyback on is make sure you're not taking on debt because you're in a rush or a hurry. When you look at taking on debt or getting money or raising capital for a business venture, make sure it's not because you don't want to put in the work that entrepreneurship requires. Jason just got through laying out, you know, all the different sacrifices he made along the way, not getting paid for months on end and things of that nature, which is a price that most entrepreneurs that become highly successful do pay. And I'm a big believer that entrepreneurs that do become successful have to pay a price to get there. You know, early in my days, I started my company literally from nothing out of the trash piles that I had from my first construction company that I started. But I got to the point about 5 years in where I wanted to borrow money desperately. But I wanted to borrow money because I saw all the people that I was competing against in the marketplace. They had nice this and nice that, nice, you know, trucks and equipment and, you know, doing flashy kind of stuff. Fortunately for me,
I just want to tap in real quick too. Yeah. It's like, I run weird businesses to like, I'm running, I don't know if you guys are aware of Shopify. So like I'm starting stores. Mm-hmm. It's costing me maybe $50-$100 to get it up and running. I have to put in a bunch of time obviously to build it out, but it's more of, should I take on money if I don't necessarily need it, but it's just being like offered to me almost.
I think Jason kind of said the same thing early on. When you're early in your entrepreneur journey, I want to own as much equity for as long as possible until I make sure that I've got my business figured out and make sure I got it monetized.
Yeah.
Now, there comes a time when you can start looking at other people, but that's what I'm saying. That's where that sacrifice comes into play. Don't be in a hurry and don't be in a rush, because when you're in a hurry and a rush, you make bad mistakes. I've made 6-figure, 7-figure mistakes because I was in a hurry and I was in a rush and I didn't know what I was doing. So that's the only caution I would give you, is make sure you're not in a rush, follow Jason's advice, and you should be in good shape.
Awesome. Thank you guys for that.
It's a great answer. Mark and Jarrett, Joey, and Steve, anything you guys want to add, or did we cover it? We can talk about my next questions. Up to you guys.
Yeah, I'll jump in real quick. It's Mark here in yellow. Jacob, you're young. You know, you don't want to be married to anyone, as they've said. You don't want to be tied down to anything for a long-term commitment. When you take money from someone, you got to deliver. But the question that I have is, what do you want? You know, you say you throw up these Shopify stores, that you're able to build them. You're able to build them for next to no money. People are coming along. They're seeing what you're doing. They want to buy into you because they like you. They see the hustle, whatever it might be. But what do you want?
You know, to be honest, with every store, like, I want to say the goal is different. Some stuff, it's like viral products. I think I could just pop up, make a quick store and whatever, bring in some good sales figures. Other stores that I'm working on, it's like way more of a branded appeal that, you know, can have some long-term value. With that being said, my main thing is I like building stuff to do. I like viral stores. That's my thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So if it sounds like if you're in a rapid prototyping stage, if you like to try things, if you like to play with things, then I wouldn't handcuff myself by taking money from somewhere else, because anytime that you do that, you give away freedom. And if there's one thing that I know is when you're trying things, when you're testing things, when you're R&Ding, when you're throwing things up, when you're tearing things down, the last thing you want is someone else coming along and telling you you can't do those things. So that would be my advice.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, thank you so much, guys, for that.
Thank you, Jacob. We appreciate your question. All right, so Kate, if you get another question up, let me know if somebody else wants to come on here. But hey, Zach, I see you on here. Let's introduce yourself, and then I'll start with a question for you. Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Zach Benson here. I'm actually calling in from South Korea, so it's morning time here, and good to be here. Yeah, so a little bit about me. I specialize in Instagram campaigns and social media campaigns, reaching millions of people. We do a lot of work for countries and tourism boards like Dubai. And normally, I'm always traveling and doing consulting and helping big time influencers just get bigger. So we're helping like Prince Ia, about to do some work with Damon John, Russell Brunson. So we really specialize in social media growth hacking. So excited to be here. Thanks, guys.
Don't be held hostage. When you hear that comment, I wrote a chapter about it. What does it mean to you in business or personal life if I tell you don't be held hostage? Go ahead.
I think immediately like what comes to mind when I hear that question is, don't be a slave to like your own business or anybody, because the journey of like entrepreneurship, it's lonely. It's a lonely road, and it's lonely being on the top. And I think that as you grow and as we scale, like we have to figure out ways to outsource and find the right people to help us take our business and life to the next level. So that's really like what kind of comes to mind to me is like, don't feel like you just have to do everything yourself, but find the right people and the right advisors and workers and employees to help you lessen your workload so that you can do the things that you love to do, which make most impact.
I love that, Zach. That's a great answer. So this is going to be fun because I get to hear everybody's different perspective of what that comment means. And I love that. I never thought of it that way. That's awesome. So Joey, we'll go to you. We're going to work our way up. Joey, when I say don't be held hostage, what does that mean to you? Go.
I think it means don't let anything hold you back from reaching your potential or reaching your goals. That's one thing for me is you and I, like what you mentioned earlier about just the way you grew up and everything. I grew up very poor. I was told my whole life I couldn't accomplish anything. I barely graduated high school. I didn't go to college. And the thing is that's what pushed me so far is I didn't take a no for an answer. No didn't even exist in my vocabulary. And so first thing that gave me my opportunity to reach my potential was right when I graduated high school, I got into working out. I was a scrawny kid, 5'10", 135, and I started working out. And I learned that if you sold gym memberships, these guys were making 100 grand a year. And I didn't even know what it was like to make. I was making $5 an hour and I was a bag boy. And next thing you know, I found my passion. I learned all about fitness and exercise. I started selling memberships, but really what I was doing is I was building relationships with people. And that's really what got my people skills going. And from there, well, the first thing I went through, Brian Tracy's training. Anyone that's, you know, around our age probably knows Brian Tracy and like the full school of like hard knock style sales, you know? And I just learned that you'd never take no for an answer, or it takes 7 no's to get a yes. And so for me, I just was so determined. I knew at the end of the day I was going to be successful. I knew I was going to build an amazing life for myself and have every single thing that my life desired, you know, have that house, have that car, have that vacation. And literally it came from, there's nothing going to get my way. I'm going to reach my potential. I'm going to reach my desires, and I'm going to go full speed ahead. And whatever happens, happens. And I never gave up on myself. I always believed in me, and I knew I would do it. And the rest is history. So that's my definition. Thank you.
Dude, another great definition. All right, Jarrett, you're up. When I say don't be held hostage, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, for me and Joey, that's a really tough one to follow. But I mean, for me, when I think of held hostage, I think of work-life balance. I also think about being balanced in total because, of course, I'm a type A personality, so I always think that I'm not going to be held hostage to any sort of negative thoughts or limiting beliefs that would stop me from achieving high business goals, but also think about being held hostage by your business goals to make you neglect your health and wellness or make you neglect your family, your relationships, your children, or the things that really center you. Because I see a lot of people go really hard for the big goals and the big, you know, business objectives and the metrics and the money, but they can lose and become hostage to that goal, whether it's for themselves or for in the eyes of other people. But for me, when I think of don't be held hostage, I mean, don't be held hostage to that one singular thing and make sure you're balanced and open to everything that life has because, you know, every day is precious and, you know, you only have one. So that's what I think when I think of held hostage.
Another great thing. It's crazy because I can't wait to tell you guys after everybody goes what it's about in my book. But this is amazing. I'm excited. I'm grinning ear to ear. Mark, you're up. Don't be held hostage. What does that mean to you?
Well, I think I spoke to this a little bit earlier in my first response about the trap that we often build. And so you can be hostage to your clients. You can be hostage to your team. You can be hostage, as Jarrett mentioned, your own dreams. And so I think really it's when you spend more of your time working out of obligation, when you spend more of your time working for others, but it's not feeding your soul, it's not lifting you up, it's not helping you become the person you need to become to do the things that you want to do, well, then you're trapped. And you're a hostage, and you got to do the hard work to get untrapped.
Very good. Very good answer. Steven, don't be held hostage. What does that mean to you?
Yeah. So to piggyback on all the awesome answers that have already been said, I'm going to hit it from a different angle. One of the biggest problems I ever had in my business was being held hostage based on the team members that I had in place. What I mean by that is certain team members are not meant to go the full distance with you. Certain team members are there for a reason or a season. They're not there for the lifetime. And only time will tell. I held on to literally 4 individuals for way too long, even though they gave me enough top line infrastructure information, so to speak, to let me know that they were not good for me or the business. And it cost me $1.4 million because I held on too long. You've got to be objective when looking and working with your team members. That doesn't mean they're widgets and they're tools and they're people that you're going to walk on and take advantage of. But what it does mean is you need to be respectful, honest, have integrity yourself, lead them with all intensity. But at some point in time, you're going to have team members that are not meant to be part of your business. And it doesn't matter if you're a one-man operation, a three-person operation, or a 300, 400, 500 operation. You've got to be looking in the mirror on a regular basis to face yourself to make sure that you are actually letting go of people that don't need to be part of your business. I can tell you that I'd lost 2 years of productivity and all that money I already mentioned because I'd held on too long. So I think you can be held hostage by your team members by not paying attention. So please pay attention. Stephen Dunn speaking. Thanks, man.
So that was a great answer too. And that was similar to what I wrote about, but everybody had a great, fantastic, diverse answer, which is, that's what I really liked. I could say a comment and it means to all these entrepreneurs and all these successful people out there that have overcome adversity, it meant something a little different. And don't be held hostage to me, as you always have a choice. You got to own your circumstances and build systems into your life or business so that you never feel forced to do what you don't want to do. Stephen talked about it, Mark, Jared, Joey, everybody talked about it. Zach, everybody talked about what affects them and what they're, where they feel like maybe they're held hostage. For me, in a relationship, you don't want to feel like you have to be with somebody because of something. And in business, there's been too many times building three companies, hiring and firing thousands of people over the years, where I've been held hostage to top sales reps that don't do the right thing, or top installers or license holders. And I put myself in a place that I build systems. I think of the New England Patriots, right? They were too dependent on Tom Brady. He left. What happened? They didn't win. The Bucks went and won the championship. You've got to build a system. Everybody's got to be replaceable. You can't be scared to make a decision based on data that will give me how many top sales reps I fired because they did something wrong. And everyone's like, dude, that's your top sales rep. Well, now number two becomes number one. We don't miss a beat. When you build a system like that in your company and in your life, I feel like you're not held hostage. But those were great answers. Kate, I'm going to let you reset the room again real quick. Go ahead.
Thank you, Jason. All right, everyone. This is the Business Q&A with the true underdog, Jason Waller. Jason went from trailer park to self-made as a nine-figure entrepreneur. He is also the host of True Underdog, a top five entrepreneur podcast on Apple Podcasts, and is currently in the works of publishing his very first book titled Own Your Power, No Bullshit, No Excuses, The Time Is Now, set to be released late summer 2021. As an underdog himself, Jason always stays true to his roots and wants to share his insight with other potential underdogs about what it takes to make it as an innovator and an entrepreneur. So Silo, over to you. Welcome to the stage. How can the panel help you tonight?
Actually, I just wanted to kind of back up what was just said. I thought the advice that Stephen and Jason, everyone gave was just incredible in regards to what, you know, don't let it hold you back or what's holding you back. Is it okay to kind of tail off of that, or do I need to?
Absolutely. Yeah. What's it mean to you? It was don't be held hostage. I think it resurrects differently with people, but it's all the same kind of mindset. So yes, let's hear what you think, Silo.
Again, Stephen hit the nail right on the head. I've had that exact problem with my own organization with holding on to people too long, and holding on to them only does detriment not only to yourself and your team, but to the business. What it means to me is also not to be held hostage by the thoughts of everyone around you, including yourself, and knowing that the people who you hold the most dear are going to be the most critical, are going to do in a loving way, do the best they can to make sure you don't harm yourself by telling you things you might not need to hear. And if you take that dear because of where it's coming from, that does have the potential to hold you back, especially if that advice goes against what you're trying to pursue and do.
No, great answer. And that's perfect. I'm reading your background. And so, you know, I see that you're at 1 million in condo real estate sales. So congrats to your stories. I love to see people overcome adversity. It's just so important. I just had Grant Cardone on the other day. So his episode comes out on my show maybe next week or the week after. I'm not sure. But we talked a little bit about underdogs, and we talked about, you know, him being an underdog and doing, you know, he had a drug issue and he lost everything and he had to build it back. And, you know, he grew up in, you know, Southern Louisiana and didn't have much. And, you know, his mom did, he just wanted to help his mom out. You know, dad died when he was young. I mean, he was an underdog. And I think at any given time, somebody's an underdog in some kind of situation. And what we do with that, either we can quit, we can make an excuse, we can point the finger, or we can do something about it. And I think that really, whatever you do in life, whether you're an entrepreneur or you're an employee or you're a teacher or you're a doctor, whatever it is, when you're serving people, if you're filling that void inside, you're successful. It's not about how much money you make. It's not about, you know, how many followers you get. It's not about all the cool cars. And look, I like cool cars because I didn't have shit growing up. So I like cool stuff now. But even then, like, I bought a Lambo, I sold a Lambo. There was no, you know, no offense, but there was no midgets jumping out and wind blowing and parades. There was none of that shit. None of that happened for me, right? So I sold the car. It doesn't do nothing. Those are just things. But what makes me happy is helping people or hearing stories or empowering and serving people you don't know that hear your show or read your book or that you can give advice to, like on Clubhouse. And it's a game changer. They go out and make a better day. We started this show, Kate mentioned, getting 1% better. You know, I always like to challenge people, how can we be better every day? And you can't be better by being 100% better tomorrow or 50% better tomorrow. That's unrealistic. But if you just give 1% every single day, and I'm not going to give you the compounded numbers, I'm not that smart, but if you do that every single day, in a week, you're going to be 7% better. In a month, you're going to be 30% better. In a year, you're going to be over 365% better. Think about that. Whatever you do today, give 1% more tomorrow. That makes a difference in everything. And I challenge everybody that, you know, that is listening right now and the thousands that'll be listening to the True Underdog episode when this launches next Friday, you need to make sure that you are just challenging yourself, setting some small goals and giving that 1%. Now, with that said, I've got a couple questions again, or another question or another comment I'm going to say out here for the panel. We're going to start with you, Stephen, and work our way down. And it's going to be, there's no elevator in life. You've got to take the stairs. What does that mean to you?
That's my life, man.
I figured you'd like that one.
Yeah. That's putting your head down and getting to work. I mean, look, here's the reality. I got a couple team members. One of them has been with me now for probably close to 2 years on one of our startup ventures we've got going on. And the young man, when I first met him, he had big audacious dreams. He, you know, he wants to be a billionaire and have houses and cars. And so worked with him in school. Hey, man, that's all great and stuff. Just make sure that's not your only focus. Like, inspire yourself. Okay, great. You know, but then he would get lost in thought. Analysis paralysis. Now, what if? What if this doesn't happen? What if that doesn't happen? What if it's not perfect when it goes out, when it doesn't do this? At the end of the day, you have to get to work. Like, you can't sit around. You know, I'm building a massive live event right now. And, you know, if I don't do my part, that live event is not going to be successful. And I've already got, you know, mainstream influencers, you know, Tom Bilyeu and Evan and Evan Carmichael and even Drager's even coming over there. Ira Davis. I mean, I got so many different people coming to this event. And if I don't do my part, that thing is going to not only mess up my reputation as a friend and as a fellow thought leader in that space, but it's going to screw up the whole thing, what we're trying to build. But if I sat here and worried about every single little detail about the things that I didn't have in my pocket right now to take a step, then I would never take a step. Jason, you and I both built businesses, you know, from literally nothing. Like, you don't have anything. You have no choice but to get going. And at the end of the day, if you don't get going, don't expect to be, you know, any different than you were last year or the year before that or the year before that. You have to get going. You got to make it happen. And, you know, taking the stairs is kind of like that mentality that you've got to remind yourself on a regular basis that it's up to you. It's up to you to take a daily step that you were just talking about. I mean, that's what it means to me. It's life, dude. It's life. You got to grind and make it happen. Thanks.
No, great. I knew you would crush that one and love that one. Mark, you are up. What do you think when I say there's no elevator in life? You've got to take the stairs.
I love that. This is such a strange question, but the imagery is powerful because as Stephen just said, you know, step after step after step, here's what I think. I think most people are standing at those elevator doors. They've pushed the button and they're waiting and they want the doors to open and they want to step up and they want to hit the penthouse suite and they just want everything to take them right to the top. But you know, I know, I mean, listen, when I was growing up, I was in an apartment building. You used to have to run up and down the stairs. When I first graduated from high school, I worked ground maintenance. You have to run up and down. We had 14 stories of stairs. We had to go up and down carrying stuff. You got to go step after step after step. You got to put in the time. You got to put in the hustle. Everyone else is out there waiting, pushing a button, hoping the doors will open and take them to the top. But meanwhile, if you hustle, because trust me, I've done this, you can beat the people standing at the elevator. Not only will they not hit the top because you got to put in the work, but if you run fast enough and you run hard enough and you put in enough work, you will beat them there because they're never going to get there.
That's solid. That's good, man. That was good. All right, Jarrett, what do you think of this? There is no elevator in life. You've got to take the stairs. Go ahead, Jarrett.
I mean, Mark just dropped the mic, so not much to say after that. But
Sorry.
No, that was great. But ultimately, to keep it very short and sweet, there are no shortcuts to the big goals. You got to put in the work. You got to put in the sweat equity. You're going to get tired. You're going to get discouraged. As long as you keep looking up and taking one step in front of the other, you can get up there, but no free rides, no easy rides to the top. This is Jarrett Dunn speaking.
That's good too. No free rides. Hey, Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to call bullshit, man. I appreciate everybody's perspective, and I'm going to call bullshit because, you know, reality is there absolutely is a proven path to success. I mean, like for you as an example, investing in a mentor, that's not taking the stairs, man. That's taking the rocket ship, right? I mean, it's taking the elevators, getting you straight to the top. I will tell you this, ain't nobody living in the penthouse taking the stairs, period, end story. They are all taking that elevator to their private, gazebo in the sky. So here's what I believe to be true, which is, yes, you want to obviously understand what's going on. You certainly don't want to just turn over what's going on to someone else to handle. But at the same token, the people who make the most money on this planet and the people who have the biggest impact on this planet are the people who, in fact, understand that they don't have to do all the work and they don't have to know everything in order to get there. So what I would offer as far as the elevator versus the stairs is concerned is that if I'm looking at a deal, and I've done a lot of real estate development over the years, as an example, we took liquor.com from zero to selling it to Barry Diller's IAC. So I've done a lot of different things over the years. And what I will tell you is that Barry, as an example, he'll come in and buy a company like liquor.com, which has already taken all the stairs, and pick it up when it's on the 10th floor where that elevator is already at, right? When you're looking at a real estate deal, it is just as easy and just as hard at the same time for me to do a deal that is a $20 million deal as it is for me to do a deal that is a $2 million deal. The same amount of time, the same amount of energy, just another zero in terms of the capital raise. And that is the only difference. And when you have that zero on the end in terms of the ROI, that's the elevator versus the stairs. So what I would say is that if you had asked me this question 20 years ago, I would have told you all day long, you got to put in your work. You got to do what you want to do. But I mean, we had a 19-year-old on earlier who's already talking about raising capital. That shit's unheard of, man, because he understands that there is a proven process to getting to where it is that you want to go. And he's seeing other people doing it, and he's trying to model it, which is why I believe he was asking that question. So elevator versus stairs, all day long, take the elevator because there's a proven path that'll get you there.
Well, listen, so this is why I love having different people's perspective of what that comment means. And the great news is it's my shit, right? So I get to go last and I get to explain what I think and what I have in the book here. But Joey, when I say there is no elevator in life, you've got to take the stairs. Go.
Yeah. So one of my favorite quotes, it goes, "The only time success comes before work is in the dictionary." And that's something I live by because for me, work success has never come before the work. Work's always been the first thing I've done. And it took me 4 years to make my first penny with social media. And the thing was, is people were saying, "Are you sure this is going to pan out?" and this and that. And I knew it would. But the thing was my hard work, my drive, me knowing that I was going to be successful is what drove me. And so for me, my life's all been about the stairs. There's never been a handout, never been any shortcuts. And that's the thing. It's, you know, the turtle and the hare. The turtle is always going to win because slow and steady wins the race. And that's just that's the way I've always done my things in life. I do things right and it pans out. And so for me, it's like, I always know that at the end of the day, as long as I do the work, that's the right way morally. And, you know, like that's how I am able to be successful because the thing is I do things the right way and it always works out for me. And at the end of the day, you know, one other thing I want to add to that is, as you become more successful, a step mill at the gym, because the thing is you start getting momentum and that you start increasing that speed on that step mill. And the thing is more things come in your way that make it easier. More things come in your life that makes it easier for you to achieve your goals, right? Either you have more money to fund that project or you meet that person that's going to allow you to have that new opportunity. So the thing is I think you still have stairs, but things that come in your life make it so that speed on the stairs increases for you to get to your goals quicker.
Zach, what does that mean to you? That was a great answer, by the way, Joey. Last but not least, Zach, what does that mean to you when I say there's no elevator in life, you've got to take the stairs?
Yeah, like in the beginning, like you got to work hard, you got to grind, you got to hustle. Like before all this social media marketing stuff, I was a breakdancer and taught in 75 countries. I was, you know, towards the end of my career, I was making $1,000 an hour on So You Think You Can Dance. Like I never won the show. But like when I was first like starting out, like trying to figure out, like, how do I get my name out there? How do I figure out a way to like monetize and, you know, make money at this? Like, kind of like Mark was saying, it's like, you can't just wait, like be waiting all day, every day for people to just come knocking on your door, like giving you opportunities and saying, hey, I'll fly you out, I'll pay you, you know, for everything, right? It's like, you have to build a name for yourself. You have to build your brand. And so I wasn't able to charge $1,000 an hour until I had done something with like my dance life, right? Got on TV shows, like in press and TV and, you know, won competitions and battles. And then slowly, little by little, I was able to just master the art of outreach and cold email. And, you know, it was a numbers game, right? Some people said yes, some people said no, but I found enough people to say yes. And that's how I was able to make a six-figure income teaching dance. But another thing I wanted to add was, you know, as you're like building your brand and you're mastering whatever you're trying to master, as you're becoming like an expert at this, you can shave time off your learning curve by asking those people at the top who are already at the top where you want to be, you know, for advice, right? Whether it's paying them for coaching or buying their courses, their programs, you can shave off time learning curve so that you can reach the top faster. But then the other thing I figured out is by helping those top dogs, those big dogs that are, you know, household names, like if you're able to figure out how to help them and give freely, give them like what they want so bad, but they haven't been able to figure it out or get it for themselves because they've been scammed or screwed over, or taken advantage of. If you help them for free and you just give it to them as a gift, that's your elevator to the top of success faster, because then they're like, oh, like, you know, Zach did this for me and he gave it to me for free. It's like, you know, you're kind of in their circle. And then from there, it's just the whole world opens up more opportunities.
Great answer, Zach. Great answer. Listen, I think everybody was right, including Steve.
Hey, Jason, can I respond real quick to Steve? Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Steve, man, you're already on the elevator. If you want to hold the door for me, I'll jump in with you. so just so you know, I'm willing to take the elevator for anyone who's willing to hold the door for me.
So let me, that was great, Mark. So let me break this down, because I think everyone's perspective is absolutely on par, even Steve's. And I'll explain my version of what this means when I wrote it down, when it's in my book, and what the lessons are in here for the listener. So,
and Jason, just to be clear, I mean, I see where you're going here, and you're not wrong.
I'm not wrong. You're just saying it's bullshit because you can take the elevator. There is a cheat code.
It's just your opinion. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. I'm not saying I'm wrong. Listen, you guys don't even know what I think about this subject yet. I'm about to lay it out.
So hey, Jason, is it okay if I jump in after you?
Well, go ahead. If you want to say something on that, there's no elevator, you got to take the stairs. What does it mean to you, Polina?
Unfortunately, I agree with Steve. I think that you have to take the stairs at some point, and at some point you will take the elevator. I think you can't get personally attached to either one. Your self-worth shouldn't be about the stairs or the elevator, in my opinion. I failed many, many, many times, much more than I've succeeded. But the times that I've succeeded, it wasn't because I've taken the elevator up. It was because I wasn't that person that said, oh, yeah, now that I made it, I'm this. And when I didn't make it, I was that. When I stopped attaching my humanity to what it meant to me, about me, what was happening, that's when I actually became more successful. So I just kind of agree with Steve, but I think everybody has a really valid point.
Well, I don't think there's anyone to agree or disagree with. And I think, Polina, you're exactly right. I think there's room for both, because it doesn't say, when it says there's no elevator life, you've got to take the stairs. Well, let me explain what that means to me. So when you're setting goals for a week or 30 days or 60 days or 180 days, that's what I live by. That is easier to obtain. To me, that is taking certain steps. I'm putting in the work and I see what's in front of me. I'm living in the moment. If I want instant gratification, like I get on my phone when I shop or I'm on Instagram and I get this and I get that, and I want to see ESPN and I get this and I get that, you're not going to get that in life in most cases, almost all cases in business. You've got to start somewhere. And when you think, hey, I'm going to go from zero to a billion-dollar company, and you look all the way to the top of that damn building, and that is where you want to be at $1 billion. If you focus on that and you think you're going to find an elevator, hit a button to get there really, really quick, you're more than likely wrong and you're going to be discouraged. So the goal is to stay in the moment. Hey, I can't get to $1 billion till I at least get to $1 million. Well, that's the fifth floor. I can take these stairs and get to that fifth floor, fail, learn the things I need to learn, build the foundation I need. And now I'm on the fifth floor. Now I'm not looking backwards, but I'll glance up at that dream goal. Oh shit, that 100th floor is that $1 billion thing, but I want to get to 3 million in sales now. That's the 12th floor. Let me keep grinding. Let me keep working. I look at there's no elevator in life, take the stairs, is really keeping things in the moment and not trying to fast forward through everything, because you'll get discouraged. You'll set your goals and you'll be discouraged. You need to set realistic goals that are obtainable in 30, 60, 90, 180 days. You need to have small wins, and that's little steps that you take to get to the ultimate dream goal. But if you stay in the moment, I learned that from Barry Sanders, the Hall of Fame running back. He said, Jason, my whole goal was to make the middle school football team. Then it was to make the high school football team. Then it was to get a scholarship. Then it was to start. Then it was to go pro and get drafted. Like, you stay in your moment. And the way he worded that is, the lights never become too big when I stay in that moment. They also don't become too small. And when you think you're going to go from zero to 100, there's 99 other miles per hour there. You got to get in there. And to me, that's kind of taking the steps to get there. Now, sure, you can bypass some easy levels or even rows of steps. Like, hey, I'm going to skip the 30th to the 60th floor and pay for some coaching. Absolutely, you can do that. I agree with that 100%. You can speed things up. But, you know, from a kid from the trailer park, didn't go to high school, didn't finish high school, didn't go to college building businesses. I didn't even know what the hell mentor coach really meant until recently. I can afford it, but I'm still living in the moment. I've got a $1 billion business. You guys think I'm done? Shit, I want to be one of those 865. I want to be ones that are worth $10 billion more. I want to be one of those guys. I got a $1 billion business. I'm not worth $1 billion. I'm worth a few $100 million, right? Because I've got partners and I've got debt. Like, you got to do the math here. How do I get to be one of those 865 billionaires? Well, I can't do it overnight. And if I think I'm going to get there tomorrow, I'm wrong. But hey, the goal is to be worth 700 million, then 800 million, then 900 million, then get to be that one of the 865. To me, that is still staying in my lane. And so me getting coaching now from like a Steve or David Meltzer is fantastic. But what if I start to, no offense to Steve or David Meltzer, Elon Musk is a coach. Warren Buffett is a coach. I mean, shit. You know, I got to get there. I got to grind to take the steps. So no offense to these guys, but that's kind of how you build this up. And that's how I look at, there's no elevator in life. You've got to take the stairs. Is in the moment that you're living, when you're taking those stairs and you're walking one step at a time, you're failing, you're learning, you're struggling, you're getting better, and you're building a foundation and you're growing. There are ways that you can bypass floors. There are ways that you can advance quickly, like that 19-year-old. But he's got investors who want to invest. We don't know what he's selling. He said 100 bucks. We don't know. But I'm sure it's not a $1 million business yet. If it is, it's not a $10 million. If it is, it's not $100 million. If it is, it's not $1 billion. He's still got stairs to climb. And that's my version of, there's no elevator in life. You got to take the stairs. So I think everybody was right. And I think it was a great lesson. Kate, on to you.
Thank you, Jason. All right, guys. Thank you so much for being here. We are going to go ahead and close up the room. Thank you so much for joining us for our business Q&A with Inc. 500 CEO, Jason Waller.
I just want to say thank you to Steve, Polina, Zach, Jarrett, Mark, Caroline, Holla, you, Kate, and Steven. I appreciate all of you guys being on the show up here. This was a rock, kick-ass show. I loved it. I thought it was exciting. It was great to hear everyone's perspective on different comments. I really enjoyed that. Hopefully you guys got something out of it too. Anything you guys want to add before Kate closes it?
Man, I just had a blast. We have to do this again, dude. This has been fun. That's all I got to say.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everyone. If you found value in tonight's conversation, please be sure to give Jason a follow here on Clubhouse. Check out his socials. Show him some support. And for even more motivational tips, inspiring stories, and business building lessons, go check out Jason's podcast, True Underdog. He's had some incredible high-profile guests, including Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank, Grant Cardone, and this week he's got Evander Holyfield. So go check it out, trueunderdog.com, or visit Jason's Instagram at JasonWallerBam and enjoy the show. This room is hosted by Human Behavior. If you are not yet following Human Behavior, go ahead and tap the greenhouse just above our heads. Head and tap the greenhouse just above our heads and give them a follow for even more greenness. All right, Jason, before we close up the room, do you have any final thoughts for us?
Hey, I just appreciate everyone's perspective. I think there was a lot of gems here for the listeners of the podcast and the folks here that came onto Clubhouse. Everybody has a wealth of knowledge. I learned some things today hearing everybody go. I picked up some nuggets from everybody. Hopefully they got the same. So thank you for coming out and serving and having a kick-ass room. Bam!
And that concludes another episode here on True Underdog. If you're interested in hearing more, make sure you subscribe at iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the YouTube channel. You can always visit trueunderdog.com, subscribe to all of them. Make sure you check out our newest episodes coming out on Mondays and Thursdays. True Underdog, baby.
Bam! Bam! True Underdog. Bam! Bam! Unleash the power.